bonus round time. If you can't teach an old dog new tricks, what can you teach him?
Conversational French?
Correct.
Ooh.
Gingerbread men are...
Gingerbread boys, all grown up.
Correct. Who lets you watch movies instantly on your Nintendo 3DS or on your TV through your Wii console?
Duh, Netflix.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Hey, did I just win that new car over there?
No, I did.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. What an extraordinary time in franchising. You know, many of us are still riding high from the IFA convention. Some attended the Franchise Unconference last week in Utah, and more on that as we talk of it in a bit with today's guest, Brad and Sherry Fishman. Some attended this week's Franchise Finance Conference in Las Vegas. In a few weeks, many of us will be in Washington, D.C. for the International Franchise Expo. It's just a great deal of positive energy in what a six-week period within franchising. You know, and it continues to build right here on Franchise Today, leading up to the IFE, with Brad and Sherry on the show today. And next week, we have the newest member of the IFA's Hall of Fame, Doc Cohen. Actually, Doc is also the first franchisee to receive this honor, and his guest appearance is scheduled for March 17th. And then I'm honored to have the new chairman of the IFA as my guest on March 24th. That's right, it's Jack Earl will be my guest. And then just before the IFE and riding this big IFA wave, it will be a replay of my interview with IFA President and CEO Steve Caldera. And if you've yet to listen to my interview with Steve, that would be a great time to do so, maybe even as you're working your way to IFE, and that'll be March 31st. And following the IFE, the positive energy continues on Franchise Today as I welcome Rhonda Sanderson back to Franchise Today on April 7th. Rhonda will join me and co-producer Joe Caruso as we recap the IFA. And then the event that many have anxiously awaited, the Franchise Legal Series, begins on April 14th and runs all the way through May 26th at seven consecutive segments, expanded from last year's four segments. And due to popular demand for specific topics affecting Franchise Today, Joe Caruso and I worked feverishly to put together a top-notch legal series that not only addressed these topics, but will do so from the top legal minds who deal in these issues day in and day out and are considered experts in many of these areas. So basically, the Franchise Legal Series is a precursor to the upcoming IFA Annual Legal Symposium, which, of course, is held May 15th to 17th at the JW Marriott Hotel in Washington, D.C. And our legal franchise legal series is the brainchild of co-producer Joe Caruso, who, as many are aware, is a leading expert on franchise best practices and a frequent contributor to Franchise Today and is also my co-producer. The objective, of course, is to expand upon the issues to be discussed at the symposium, and ultimately Franchise Today seeks to expose those not able to attend the IFA event to similar issues presented, again, by some of the leading legal professionals in the franchising industry, including Lane Fisher, a partner at Fisher Zucker, Jonathan Redgrave, attorney and partner at Redgrave LLP, Lee Plave, owner and co-founding partner at Plave Cook, Warren Lee Lewis, a shareholder of franchising and licensing at Ackerman Centerfeet, Leslie Curran, franchise attorney at Plave Cook, Adam Siegelheim, attorney at Stark & Stark, and Michael Webster, owner and franchise attorney at the law office of Michael Webster. Now, the schedule and topics of discussion are as follows. April 14th, we'll be with Lane Fisher, and we'll be discussing earnings claims and financial performance representations. Now, the following week on the 21st will be with Jonathan Redgrave. We'll be discussing social media and e-discovery legal issues. That should be a very interesting show. April 28th with Lee Plave, we're going to talk about franchisor-franchisee contemporary social media issues, another hot topic. And then on the 5th of May, we'll be talking with Warren Lee Lewis, who's the author of the Franchise Seller's Handbook, and we'll be discussing franchise sales best practices. On the 12th, another member of the Playoff Cook team, Leslie Curran, will be on as we discuss franchise broker issues in a digital world. And then on the 19th of May, which is a day or two after the legal symposium in Washington, Adam Siegelheim will be on and give us an IFA legal symposium recap. And then on the 26th with Michael Webster, we'll be talking about independent franchisee associations and why franchisors should love them. So it's really an exciting time, and I'm excited to say the positive energy doesn't even stop there, as Joe and I are finalizing plans for the Franchise Finance Series, which will air sometime in June. Two of the foremost experts in franchise finance will be my guests. Of course, they are none other than Ron Feldman and Daryl Johnson. I mean, really, who can discuss franchise finance without mentioning Ron and Daryl? So there you have it, a full, exciting schedule on Franchise Today, basically through the month of June and a springboard to summer. Exciting and full of positive energy indeed. And talk about positive energy. Did anyone notice Brad Fishman line dancing at Fran Jam at the recent IFA convention? Remember, what goes on in Vegas stays on Facebook. And specifically, a photo of Brad line dancing is on Ron Feldman's Facebook page. So without further ado, let me introduce today's guests. Brad and Sherry Fishman are very well known within franchising circles as the owners of Fishman Public Relations. But it's really their tireless efforts with the IFA that really stand out, at least in my mind. One would be hard-pressed to attend an IFA event without seeing one or both of them running around, usually on a board or committee, talking up a storm, networking with people, helping newcomers along the way. And their effort is second to none. So on behalf of franchising, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank them for their efforts. So Brad, Sherry, thank you, and welcome to Franchise Today.
Well, Paul, we're glad to be back again. I'm glad to be back again. I'm glad to be joined by Sherry. And I was hoping no one was going to notice that line dancing thing, but I guess it's out there.
Well, I'm glad they noticed it. I'm glad they noticed it, Paul. And it's my pleasure to be on.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you on the air today with us, Sherry. Like Brad said, he had been on here once before. And we actually talked on the air about bringing you on the next time, so I'm really happy that you're here. And I was glad to meet you for the first time in person at the recent IFA event, and I really regret not seeing Brad line dancing live, although I got to say I was in the middle of a meeting and I got a message on my Facebook and I looked down and it was Ron Feldman had posted the picture of Brad dancing, and I really wish I could have seen that. I mean, Sherry, tell me a little bit about it. I mean, did you cringe? Were you embarrassed, or did you just laugh?
No, actually, Paul, I was doing it right along with him. So yes, we both line dance, someone has to have a little bit of fun sometimes. So
absolutely, and I heard it was a great time at Fran Jam, and the entire IFA convention was just a fabulous time. And, you know, just recently, last week, a matter of fact, there was the Franchise Unconference, and I know you all have been very instrumental in organizing that. This is the third year, I believe. What exactly is the Franchise Unconference?
Well, I'll kind of give you the background of how it happened. This was the second year we did it, and we kind of decided to put something together. A bunch of us, myself, Lane Fisher, and Dawn Kane, but really it started because me and Lane, I'm not saying probably the best English here, and Paul Rocchio and Scott Lear from the IFA and Steve Greenbaum and Brian Spindell from PostNet were all skiing together, and we said, wow, this is a great time, and we start, like when we're always together, somehow franchising always becomes part of our discussions. And we said, what a great opportunity. And it was more of a casual thing. And we said, how do we all get together? And, you know, IFA does, as we all know, IFA does a fabulous job in putting together on some great conferences. But in a lot of cases, it's a lot of meetings. And so we figured, how do we put together where we can have discussions at times, but if a lot of our discussions in our situation was done on the chairlift? and sitting around talking after the day of skiing or over a meal, and that's how we decided to do it. How do we put something together? And that's why we called it the Unconference, knowing that people really want to have some really intimate discussions on a smaller basis in a smaller audience, and that's how the Unconference kind of began. And it was started in Park City because that's where we were skiing in those days. And it's been a lot of fun putting together. And this year we had, like I said, it was an invite. It's kind of a very slow invite type of process. And we end up having about 160 people attend the event, which ended last Friday night in Park City.
Well, 160 is certainly no small event. Sherry, what's your thoughts behind the Unconference? Give me your perspective on it.
Well, I came in as, I would say, as the outsider coming in fresh, you know, as a guest, as an invited guest. And it was, I was so impressed with what they put together because the positive energy, just everyone was so excited. You know, the meetings that they had were so efficient. People were, despite the early time they did the meetings in the morning before going on the mountain or going snowmobiling, it was just captivating. The audience was captivated by what they were hearing, not only from those that were facilitating, but those that were participating as, you know, as attendees. Then you go switch quickly to the chairlifts and to the runs on the mountain, and you're within 20 minutes, you're going from a meeting to skiing with them. It was awesome. I loved it. I loved it. I was like, this is like, I was shaking my head going, wait, what did I just do? You know, it's like transforming from a meeting to some fun time. And then, you know, then connecting on the chairlift as well. So it's exactly, I believe, what they envisioned. So it was an awesome event.
But, you know, it's really an interesting perspective, taking the enjoyment, the entertainment factor, and I'm sure the competitive factor into play and mixing people together with like goals and objectives in business and specifically in our industry in franchising and getting together. I imagine there was a lot of different insight and sharing of experience and sharing of thoughts and perspective going on that carried from the meeting onto the chairlift, down the mountain, and then, of course, later on that evening, I saw some of the pictures of the fire pit, and you know, of course, you always see a bunch of wine bottles and stuff. But it's really, at least from what I'm perceiving on the outside looking in, like a big family atmosphere. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, it's something where people enjoy it, and unfortunately, I'd be kind of, I don't know how much I want to, we had a few injuries this year, which we did not have last year.
Well, I was going to ask that because I did see, again, what goes on in Utah stays on Facebook. I saw a picture of John Carlston's ankle, and that was pretty nasty. And then I was trying to put together the thread of events and heard somebody was saved up on a double diamond. I mean, how did that all come into play? I mean, what exactly happened?
John Carlson, I believe, broke his ankle. I don't know.
Yes.
Joe Lindemeyer from TSS Photography had a few issues with his MCL and his ACL. Nancy Bigley broke her wrist. And unfortunately, your newest guest coming up next week, you can ask Doc Cohn about this. He kind of turned over a snowmobile.
Oh, he didn't mention that when I was on the phone with him the other day, and we mentioned the Franchise Unconference. He did not say that. I will definitely have to bring it up.
Yeah. I guess there's a
risk. I know it's going forth with Barb Moran the other day, Sherry, online, and there was an incident with her as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, she kind of went up a hill with her snowmobile and did not actually make it all the way back down. but everyone had a good time, and you know, that's what the true thing about it is it was the ability to talk to people in an intimate manner. And, you know, everyone enjoyed it. I mean, even though there were a few injuries and there was a few things, you know, the common theme is everyone is going to be back again. And, you know, the hardest thing for us to do is, because what everyone likes is the intimate meetings, the intimate talks, is to try to keep it in a relative same size. And that's always going to be our biggest challenge because you always like new ideas and new people that can really benefit. I mean, you had people like Stuart Mathis from, you know, president of the UPS stores to literally startups where they have one franchise and everyone in between. And, you know, those are some of the people that get the best value where you can sit down to talk to a CEO of a 3,000-4,000-unit franchise system to a startup franchisor and getting the benefits, and they really kind of talk about, you know, everyone talks about where lead generation's coming from these days. And it was a very open audience telling people, this is what's working for us. This is what's not working for us. And, you know, Charlie Chase, from the president of Serta Pro, led the first day of discussions. And he really, the way he started was, he goes, you know, I want everyone to sit down. You know, people were sitting down because there was breakfast. Breakfast was first. And he said, okay, now anyone who's sitting with the same company, move. And he said, we want to get people comfortable talking about their business and getting away from their comfort zone. So he had everyone get up and move and change seats.
Yeah, and I think something also, Brad, that I thought was amazing to hear from Charlie was, you know, there were several other concepts that were within his same industry, okay, there. And he said, you know what? I know that I have competition here, but we're not thinking of it like that today. We're just exchanging ideas, all for the same reason. We want to make the most of this time here, the hour and a half or 2 hours in the morning, and they did. You know, there was no one there, that competitive nature was, that guard was down, and everybody was open. It was an open exchange. So I just, it was like a breath of fresh air. And there wasn't that tension which happens at other meetings. I felt that,
that it
was great.
Sure. I know that all too well, having facilitated a couple of the roundtables at the recent IFA convention, and you have four or five competitors sitting at the table wondering what's going to come out of your mouth next. Yes, definitely could be some tension. I appreciate you bringing that up. And you're right, it is a breath of fresh air. I mean, certainly when you look at the pictures and you see everybody looking like bombardiers with their snowmobile helmets on and stuff, it definitely gives everybody a chance to lighten up and laugh. You know, for the people that, you know, might have been invited that, you know, thought, wow, I really don't ski. I mean, does somebody really have to be a skier to get the most out of this event?
Out of the 160 people, it was probably around 75 people that skied. I mean, there's some people that went snowshoeing. There's people that, like I said, we talked about the snowmobiling part of everything. We talked about, there were people that cross-country skied. And there were other people that just went to the spa. I mean, there was a group of 5-6 people that went to the spa. So they sat around, talked, went for their treatment, then had lunch afterwards. And then everyone gets together again around 3:30 for Opera Ski. I mean, we keep people pretty busy. I mean, it goes, they do their events. We have the thing, breakfast in the morning with the event, and the afternoon, I mean, late morning to around 3 o'clock, you do your event or whatever you'd like to do. And then we go back and have Opera Ski, which is kind of going over some of the ideas that people discuss in the morning. Then go to dinner, and it's a pretty full day. You know, getting out there at 7:30 and usually ending around 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. We keep everyone pretty busy, but everyone seems to enjoy it. And as we mentioned, it was really exciting for people talking about all the great ideas. And, you know, coming right off the IFA, which was, you know, the attendance-wise, I don't know if you discussed this last week, was about 2,800 people at the IFA convention. And it's wonderful to see that everyone's really getting back and involved in the IF franchising events again.
Right.
Yeah, it certainly is. And with respect to the Franchise Unconference, are there any, you know, conference fees associated with this?
Yeah, we had charged the suppliers. The supplier charge was a little bit more than anything else because it was more like a sponsorship. And the franchisor charge was $300, and for franchisees was $100. And we were happy that some of the franchisors, Schlotzky's and Moe's and Postnet and a few other ones, actually brought some of their top franchisees to participate. As you mentioned, Doc Cohn. Doc was there. David Barr, who is a big franchisee for KFC, and Taco Bell, who was also just put on the IFA board of directors. And it's great to hear their insight into everything. And, you know, it's nice that some of the participants brought some of their top franchisees, because you're really hearing both ends. You're looking, you know, we're talking about lead generation, but, you know, we're talking about what gets them interested into a concept. And those things are a very good point of view. And it's wonderful to meet some of these people. I mean, all of us know Doc. I mean, Doc's been around for forever. But it's nice to get to know some other group of franchisees and hear their perspective and what really they look for in franchises, because the secondary discussion was, you know, we really kind of discussed profitability and, you know, store economics and how to drive more business both for the franchisee and the franchisor.
Right. And to hear it from the franchisee's perspective, just to add on to Brad's comment, was what many franchisors don't have an opportunity to hear, especially the startups. You know, they're at this unconference, and they may have just a handful of franchisees themselves, but they're hearing best practices or great comments from top franchisees from major systems. And how important is that, you know, as far as making an impact on decisions that they're about to make, you know, as they're growing their franchise, their startup franchise or their emerging franchise. So, you know, the take-back is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had the honor of sitting in on the membership committee meeting at the IFA convention. I saw Brad there and Lane and a bunch of other people. It kind of was a little bit eye-opening walking into such a big room. Didn't realize there was that many people involved in the committee, but it was impressive. And I know some of the conversation, and then I was asked to sit in on the marketing committee meeting, and it was a lot of similar objectives with respect to inviting franchisees into the IFA conferences and the convention, and not really invited, but just really trying to encourage them. I mean, they've always been invited, but you know, after the IFA convention, there was some discussion in the LinkedIn groups about franchisee involvement. It really seemed to be a mix of, you know, somebody said, and this was a very well-known franchise professional, said, no, the IFA is just for franchisors and suppliers. And then somebody else said, well, we really don't want franchisees there because they might hear about the good things going on in another franchise system, and they may think that they should have the same, and it might cause problems. And then there was a lot of discussion about messages. Sherry, how important do you think it is that franchisees are involved in the IFA convention, in the unconference, in all different types of events like this, that the perception is that are mostly geared towards franchisors?
I believe that we should open up the door and open up our eyes to the value of a franchisees getting involved. After all, franchisees, as I always say, and what we do every day here at Fishman PR, they are the validators. They're the key to your success. They're the key to your growth. You know, bottom line. You know, as far as
yeah.
human economics, hello, franchisees, okay? And so why not include them? They're the ones where you're going to get fresh ideas, okay? Let's go back to McDonald's. Where do they get the Big Mac? Hello, from the franchisees. Okay, so your
right.
best ideas and best practices sometimes stem not just from the franchisor who told you and instructed you how to do it, but the franchisee who wanted to improve it. So, yes, I keep my eyes open, and I was one of those in the marketing and PR committee meeting who was vocal about the role of the franchisee. Of course, there are guidelines on how to, you know, introduce them and what exactly their roles are, but there is definitely a role. And it's important. We have to keep our eyes open that they are a value.
Absolutely. I agree with you 1,000%. I'm all for the interdependency of the franchise relationship and feel it should be even stronger than it is today and believe they should be involved. I mean, after all, they're the ones making a big investment every day in their own units and have a lot at stake and are on the front line and absolutely should be involved. Brad, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I would absolutely agree with both of you. I mean, franchisees are the lifeblood of a franchise. You know, we can talk about all the value spending on lead generation, but if your franchisees aren't making money and they're not being inclusive, they're going to submarine your franchise. The deals are not going to happen. And it's wonderful to hear the advice of, you know, and I, you know, people like John Francis. I've known John, grew up in franchising. I've known John forever. I mean, he's on the IFA board of directors. He used to, you know, be the chair of the supply, I mean, of the franchisee forum. And these are people that are the lifeblood. I mean, they understand franchising, and they know what it's like. As I mentioned, Doc and David Barr. I mean, both of them have been on both sides. I mean, they understand what franchising, and it was interesting to hear their perspective. And, you know, and they're the first ones to admit sometimes the franchisees are wrong. And
right, absolutely. Doc is I just marvel every time that I see Doc and talk with him. I learn so much. And I'm really honored that he agreed to be on the show next week. And certainly my congratulations going out to him as the first franchisee to be elected into the IFA Hall of Fame. Can't imagine the IFA.
No one deserved the honor more than Doc. As I told Doc at his after his speech, I had tears in my eyes. And not only is it a wonderful, I consider Doc a good friend. And as you mentioned wine before, that's something I've shared a few bottles with Doc before. And
I'm sure.
what a wonderful person and a wonderful man. But he's an inspiration to everybody, and not just to the franchisees, but to the franchisors and to the suppliers and all of us. Anyone who knows Doc loves Doc.
Yeah. You know what amazed me about Doc? The you know, obviously, he's got tremendous success as a franchisee. He's extremely well respected. He could probably sit at home and do nothing for the rest of his life, and it would still be considered a tremendous success. And a couple of years ago, I was speaking at the Houston Women's Franchise Network meeting that was out at ICED Quick Copy's headquarters, and talking about social media. And of course, the conversation 2 years ago was much different today because it was really considered unknown at that point. And there was Doc Cohen sitting right at the first center table, taking notes left and right. As I was rambling on about social media, and it just impressed the heck out of me.
Yeah, I mean, he's always willing to learn, and he's always someone who puts out, but also gives so much back, and that's, you know, that's why everyone loves Doc.
I think that
yes,
franchising
absolutely.
Is first for him. You know, he wakes
yes.
up in the morning, he thinks about what he can add to this, to the franchising space. Selfless man, absolutely. I see it in his eyes. You know, those great eyes that he has, you know, and
mm-hmm.
people just are engaged. They listen to his words. It's just, that's why so many people were touched by what he said, at, you know, when he accepted his award.
Yeah, he definitely was humbled. That was for sure. Great man. Great man. I'm looking forward to speaking with him. You know, now with respect to the IFA, I mean, you guys, Fishman Public Relations, you do a lot of work. You have a lot of clients. You make a big impact in franchising. And yet you both seem to have endless, tireless energy in your commitment to the IFA. How do you balance it all?
I'll let you answer that, Sherry.
Oh, boy. You know, I have to say it's because I love what I do. And I believe Brad does too. You know, when you love what you do, you have endless energy. I wake up every day and I want to go to work. And I, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm getting a phone call at home or I'm getting an email from a new franchisee or I'm somebody who wants to possibly become a member. I'm an advocate. I always have been. You know, Paul, I've been working with the ISA since before I started Fishman PR with Brad. You know, back in the day when I didn't want to say how long ago, but I've known the people at the IFA for so long, so I've grown up in it. And I've been a believer for, you know, over 25 years in what they've done, and they've only improved. And, you know, and what their platform is and how much they support franchising industry and all the lobbying and everything they can do. That's why we're big proponents and big supporters of FranPAC. And anything I can do and Brad can do to volunteer to help on committees and webinars, why not? You know, life is, you know, is a journey, and we have to teach people along the way, and that's what I love to do.
as Sherry kind of mentioned, Franpak. I mean, being a supplier and involved in it, we kind of go back to the unconference. One of the big things at the unconference, not I want to say one of the big things, but something that's very important to a lot of people, you know, we raised almost over $26,000 for Franpak of new sponsorships, which to us is very exciting. I mean, there was a huge part of the Max donors and people involved in Franpak because we're willing to get back to, we're willing really to get back to franchising. As you, as Paul, as you mentioned at the membership meeting, I mean, we talked about it in our involvement, myself and Lane and all the other people that are so involved in it. It's so important. iFranchise Group brings part of their policy, I don't know about their policy, but all their people that go through their program, they absolutely stress and say the best recommendation is to join the IFA. And people like that, it shows you how big they feel about how important it is to franchising, because this affects all of us. You know, being a supplier, there's 600 different suppliers involved in the IFA. And but it's important to all of us because franchising is a big part of our life and our businesses. But not only that, but all the great friendships we've made, and we want to see franchising, everyone wants to continue to succeed because it plays a big role in not only in our business life, but our personal life.
Absolutely. How important is it that IFA members, not only, you know, as IFA members, but how important is it that they volunteer and get involved in the various committees and volunteer in various ways?
You know, I think it's extremely important. Obviously, we would love everyone to get involved, not only different committees on the local level. I mean, that's where it starts. I mean, look at the legislation that's going to happen for the franchising space. And that's what we're trying. That's why Franpak is so important. But the local level is where it begins. The more people involved in the FBNs, the local meetings. You mentioned the franchise. We are the PR council. We are the PR firm handling the Washington IFE this year, and we handled it last year. Those are things that really let people know it's important to get out there. You mentioned I just got back late last night from the Franchise Times Financing Conference. There's lots of places to get involved in, and more importantly, there's so much you can learn about it because that's what keeps franchising successful, the CFE program. And that's people letting people know, you know, that they understand the franchising. They take tests. They go to courses. You're really learning about it. So the more you can get involved in, I mean, I know the September fly-in meetings for is extremely important because that's the lobbying efforts.
Absolutely. I remember being involved in the Coalition for Responsible Franchising back in, oh, God, that had to be 1990, 1991. Steve Hammerstein out at Quick Copy was spearheading it. Joyce Mazzero, when I first met her, was the attorney handling it. And you're right. I mean, it's an enjoyable effort. Because you're all working towards the same cause, and more importantly, it was an important effort that we had trekking back and forth to Austin and saying our piece, and I'm glad to say we were successful, but it's the personal enjoyment and satisfaction that you get out of it, and I know for years I was involved in the IFA on the corporate side. When I was a C-level executive, I backed away from it for quite a while when I went out on my own 10, 11 years ago. And the last couple of years, I'm really excited to be back. And I guess, you know, the proverbial put your money where your mouth is. I'm glad to say that I have. And I'm now on the membership committee, so I will be seeing you, Brad.
Well, we're glad you're here.
And I was also asked to be on the convention committee, which I'm excited to be part of, and actually just signed up for my CFE as well. So to all our listeners out there, put your money where your mouth is too and get involved, join the programs, and get involved at the local level, which I'm also doing because now I'm spearheading the San Antonio Austin FBN. There's just so much to do, but it's enjoyable, it's fun, and it's good for business. It's a great family. And if you meet the people like Brad and Sherry Fishman and Lane Fisher and Ron Feldman and Doc Cohen, and the list goes on and on and on, they're just fabulous people within franchising. Absolutely.
Well, and to a lot of your listeners who are franchisors out there, what is extremely important, and what, you know, all of us can be involved in this, but getting the franchisees involved on the local level, there is probably not a better benefit for franchising is getting your franchisees involved on the local level and on the national level, talking to their congressmen, because we want to make sure laws that are not going out there to affect franchising. And the more the franchisees get involved, they're the ones who are bringing jobs to their districts. And that's so important, that letting people know about getting your franchisees involved in this, they can really help franchising more than they ever realized.
They absolutely, they have that local voice, and they'll be heard. It's so important to not forget that as far as, you know, from a lobbying standpoint, but also getting them to, getting the franchisees excited about getting involved locally with the FBNs, with the women's franchise networks locally. It is an opportunity to, you know, take their role as a franchisee to just a different level, branching out a bit and meeting other franchisees with other concepts. It's a nice networking event. It's a nice way to start to get in there, open the door.
Yeah, and you know, franchisees, like we said, Doc Cohen is a franchisee, a multi-unit franchisee. Jack Earl, the new IFA chairman, is a multi-unit franchisee of McDonald's. So franchisees, you know, have a big place at the IFA, and I encourage, highly encourage people to get their franchisees involved. I agree with you 100%. Absolutely. From, you both have been involved in franchising a long time, been very involved with the IFA. We talked about the Franchise Owned Conference. I know you guys are all over the place at conferences. You probably have your ear closer to the ground than most because of your involvement and involvement on the executive committees and what have you, as well as seeing things from the public relations standpoint. What are your views? What do you see for franchising over the next few years and beyond?
You want me to start this, Sherry?
Oh, go ahead, Brad. Absolutely. My pleasure.
You know, I think the next 2 years, I mean, you brought up something that's very important, is that in your June series, you're going to be discussing financing. And, you know, I think financing is getting a little looser. I still think it's going to be difficult for the startup franchisors that do not have a track record. So from that standpoint, you would like to think that things are going to be, I think people are pretty excited about 2011 and what's going on there. I still think you're going to find private equity players becoming very active in buying franchise systems. So I think from that standpoint, the real estate market is getting, you know, it's not as good as it was a couple of years ago for franchisees finding locations. And the prices are going to slowly creep up, especially in the major metro markets. But I think for the most part, franchisors are pretty excited where the economy is going for the next couple of years. And I think for that standpoint, I think it's going to be pretty good for franchising. We're excited about what's going on at Fishman Public Relations. As I mentioned, I just attended the Franchise Financing Conference, and people are still a little nervous there. But I think for the larger franchisors, and we kind of goes back to what we discussed before, franchisees, I think you're going to find, they always say, when your franchisees are successful, financing's a lot easier. And because mm-hmm. they'll be buying multiple units, and to me that's a good sign. So unit economics are so important. And you're going to find, I think we're pretty excited about what the next year holds for franchising.
And I wholeheartedly agree with that. I'd say that, you know, the word that I kept hearing at the IFA convention was uplifting, you know, constantly, you know, encouraging. You know, it was so different than it had been for so many years that the exhibit hall was buzzing. It was so busy, you know, and people were having deep conversations. It seems like they were committing to growth. They weren't falling back on all the obstacles. They were overcoming the obstacles. The challenges weren't there as much. You know, there was strength in their system, strength in their plans, that, you know, as Brad said, financing is still going to be a problem. There's going to be some issues and barriers, but we're getting through them. There's hope. You know, there's measures that are improving the situation. And I find just from, you know, talking to many of our clients that growth, it's no longer just, you know, supporting the system, you know, and helping the franchisees succeed, and growth becomes a secondary step or a secondary strategy. Now growth is going back into number one position, which is huge. Haven't seen mm-hmm. that in quite a while. So it's encouraging to everyone, and I believe it also is going to be interesting what we see, you know, with Jack as chairman, you know, as having a franchisee in that role. It really shows so much power at the role of a franchisee and how influential they are to the success of this.
Certainly. And, you know, I think another point, and I really got to know Steve Caldera a little bit better, talking with him in preparation for our show, and then, of course, an hour interview with him. I think just a dynamic person. But I really like, and this has nothing to do with past IFA presidents and CEOs, I thought the world of Matt Shea, but I really like the fact that Steve brings the actual practical franchising experience to the leadership role at the IFA as well. And I think when you look at the combination of Jack as bringing that multi-unit success as a franchisee to the IFA chairman's role, Steve's experience within franchising to the IFA president and chief executive officer role, I think it's a great combination for 2011.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. As we mentioned the unconference before, we're fortunate to have both Steve and Jack at the conference with us. And it's a tremendous opportunity for a lot of us. And, as you know, we kind of talk about, we're very fortunate. I happen to spend Friday for about an hour and a half skiing with Jack and David Barr, who are both multi-unit franchisees of Jack with McDonald's and David Barr with KFC and Taco Bell. And it's interesting to hear their perspective about where franchising is going and some of the problems. I mean, the biggest issue they both mentioned is labor. And what we have to do to protect ourselves in the franchising industry, but really working with a lot of everything. And, we're excited that Jack is involved as chair this year. I think it's going to be a great opportunity because he understands everything from it. I mean, he's been involved. I mean, he was an accountant before all this. And it's exciting. So he understands what business is, but he really understands what franchising, that's about what we have to go through and the day-to-day tribulations that they go against.
It's nice
Absolutely.
To see the op side of the whole thing. You know, it's a different perspective. You know, from a franchisee's perspective, I think it broadens our scope. It opens our eyes to other issues or challenges. And there are new and improved best practices. You know, when you have someone who is a franchisee as well, which is great.
Right.
It's great.
You know, one of the objectives we have with Franchise Today are the continued promotion of best practices, and it's the reason why we put together the legal series and the franchise finance series, and we've been getting more franchisees involved. We had Dave Melton, who's a very successful multi-unit franchisee for Domino's and wrote the book Hiring the American Dream. Of course, Doc Cohen. I mean, I love bringing franchisees, having been a former multi-unit franchisee myself. You know, I look at things from both perspectives as well, and I just think it's great all the way around. And, you know, Brad, you can kick back and throw your feet up on the desk and smoke a cigar for a couple of minutes, because I want to ask Sherry a question, because I already asked you this question the last time you were on the show, and specifically with respect to social media, because, you know, as we saw at this year's event, all the seminars that had to do with social media were standing room only. It was packed out into the hallway. The roundtable discussions, it was standing room at the tables that had anything to do with social media. Sherry, what's your perspective on the whole social media thing?
I believe that, it has evolved every day, every minute. The whole role of social media when it comes to franchising and even social media when it comes to public relations, that, you know, it's here to stay and absolutely is not only the way of the world, but it has a permanent role in everything that we do in franchising. And it's wild to see where we were 2 years ago and where we are today.
Sure.
And how incredible it is as far as social media and the role it has in how we integrate it in everything that we do in our advertising, our marketing, our public relations, how strong and powerful the role is in engaging the consumer, engaging the potential customer, the loyalty that you provide to your customers through social media, how quickly you can communicate with your customers, get new customers, and how we optimize everything we do every day through the social media channels. It's such a fun ride, and we're loving it. Everything that we do from Fishman PR side, everything that we hear that's being done on the franchisee side that we're helping with, every new contest, every new way in which we work with it, it's never the same thing. You know, and we're always improving and everyone's coming up with new ways. You know, I heard such a buzz about video, and I love what I'm hearing. I love what I'm seeing too. It's amazing to see how franchisors who are just had backed away from it are really opening their eyes. And I think enough nudging, they're finally realizing that this isn't going to go away. Paul, I don't have to tell you, it's you make sure that they are doing it the right way, you know, and not confusing the franchise network, not hurting their image or their brand, but adding on to it and building on it through social media. That's my hope, and I've seen it more and more. It's not just a handful of companies anymore. You feel the same way?
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's growing. I agree with you. God, it's so different than it was 2-3 years ago. Even a year ago at the IFA convention in San Antonio, and you talked earlier about the buzz on the exhibit hall floor. Certainly that buzz wasn't there last year. But there was the uncertainty and the aura about social media, and was it going to be here in the future? Is it a fad? There was so many different questions, and you're right. A lot of people are thinking right now, okay, it is here. I got to do something about it, and I need to move forward. The thing that really gets me, though, because I do a lot of social media training, you know, based on the level of proficiency and specific to the franchise brand, is that there are still so many that are putting their back up to it. As many as we know that are taking those first steps in, there are still so many that are reluctant, so many that, you know, just refuse to take that step. And, you know, I go back to the author from Socialnomics, Eric Qualman, said, you know, social media ROI is still being in business 5 years from now. And I really believe that's an extremely powerful statement, and I believe it rings true. But yet, even then, there are still some that say, tomorrow, next week, I'll get to it. I want to make sure that it's here. I'm not sure if we should do that. I mean, what do you say to, I mean, I know you're facing the same challenge with some of these people. What do you say to them?
Well, I've had that conversation many a time, and I have to say that I don't push it down their throat, but I give them examples of what has been done with other companies for them to see for themselves. Because, you know, in everything in business, I'm trying to help them see how this validates, you know, how social media and entering into that space is a sensible, you know, decision. It's one that needs to be made. And by doing so and illustrating reasons why, you know, from another person's perspective, instead of me telling them they have to do it, you know, I'm giving them examples, case studies. Now, the case studies have truly helped. For me to just talk to them and say, you need to do this, they're wondering why. By letting them talk to actual references, by walking them through case studies of what a company went through and before and how it helped, you know, increase their, you know, client, their customer loyalty, their fan base, and just it was a program. You know, it's something that we've done for several of our clients, and I have to say that, you know, especially exciting is like when we do a program for a client that was really had trepidations about it, and then they mm-hmm. come across and they realize how easy it is to have a contest or, you know, to really do something with their fans, not just have fans, because, you know, we all know that. It's just to have fans is nothing. You can get fans, but if you're not actually actively working with them and getting responses from them, then that's really not what social media is. So, but they don't understand it until they do it. So if we walk them through the case studies, they get it. And that's really how it is. Instead of me just getting on my soapbox and saying, you must do this, it's not going to work. You know, they don't want to listen to me. So that's kind of how
I'm
trying to do it.
The thing I really enjoyable about the whole social media aspect, and again, you know, I bring it from, you know, 25 years of franchising experience, you know, operations, marketing, franchise development, and social media to me was just a great tool, a great technology to be able to integrate with traditional processes and strategies. But the thing I find really enjoying is that there's so much of it that there's no one-size-fits-all strategy, so people can pick and choose the things that they're good at. I mean, you know, and as I tell clients, you know, if you enjoy writing, obviously you should be looking at a blog. You know, if you enjoy, you know, taking pictures and video, I mean, obviously there's as much as video is coming on the scene, you know, that could be a key point. There's just so many different ways of going at it. And I agree with you. You can't shove it down their throat. It's definitely a convince rather than demand situation, and something that is here to stay, without a doubt. Brad, are you still awake?
Yep.
Still with us?
I'm listening.
Okay, well. Part because I got to ask you a question. While I have Sherry on the line, so be careful.
Uh-oh.
What's it like working hand in hand with your wife, so close as you two are?
I'm very, very lucky. You know, for us, it's been a long time, and it's wonderful to work. As I joke around with people, I won't say it, Sherry. It's wonderful being partners with someone who's a lot smarter than I am. So I married very well. And I'm lucky, you know, the nice thing about us is what our strengths are different than each other, and that's what helps us together. So
it not only helps us together, it helps us when we're apart, too. You know, that's what keeps us happy all around because we do separate things. You know,
right.
We bring our strengths together.
How
and
is it in the actual decision-making, especially when the two of you may be on different sides of the fence?
Well, not only different sides of the fence, it could be different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's different that, you know, we don't always agree, but we got to keep it at what we, you know, we try to keep it at work. Sometimes it goes back to the home life, too, but that's
well,
a part of
and
it.
As much as you are together, I mean, even more so than a lot of other couples that work together, because you are so involved, and there's a lot of travel involved, and at times, you know, it probably seems like you're together nonstop. And the reason I'm asking this is because, You know, within franchising, and again, going back to the franchisee perspective, there are so many, you know, couples that get into business together, often for the first time, especially more so in the service industry part of franchising. It's very typical to have the husband and wife, and you hear that, you know, the wife says, yeah, I'm the one that I take care of the books and I do this, and the husband says they take care of this, and often working together for the first time. I mean, Sherry, what advice would you give them as they're starting out for the first time working together?
My advice always when I talk, and I, you know, and that's something that I bring to the table that I think is beneficial when we talk to franchisees or we talk to franchisors that are working together, husband and wife, it's that common interest, that commonality. We're working together as well. I always say that, you know, honestly, sometimes you will always love your spouse, but you might not like him so much or her so much. But it's really important to have that opinion and to speak up no matter what, because you're running a business here. You got to try and separate, and we take turns, unfortunately, who is separating better than the other. You know, you have to separate your personal life from your business life and not bring in, not have it overlap, because you're running a business, and in our, you know, and when you have employees and you have clients, you have to keep it separate, and you have to make sure that you have roles at work and you have roles at home. That's really very, very important, because I believe that I am different at work than I am at home. I have different hats that I wear. I have a lot of them. But, you know, the hat that I wear at work is, I try to keep that hat at work or in a work environment, and, you know, and put that home hat and keep that on at home. So I try. And then it's a challenge, but it's something to work up to.
And certainly it at least in appearance purposes, and I'm sure it's a reality as well, the two of you really seem to have a great balance. And you can tell just by the people around you and the way you both are in public. And it seems like it's worked out very well. Brad, what advice would you give to couples starting a business together?
You know, it's a very difficult process. And we both go through situations where it's hard to turn the business off. You know, I've got my client, all my friends from the industry, obviously all have my cell phone number. And I have my cell phone on until 10 o'clock at night. And at 10 o'clock, I finally turned my phone off. But, you know, you have to understand each other and the ability, and sometimes you just have to turn it off. It's very difficult for anyone to, you know, you bring your problems home and you bring your excitement home. You like to share them with your spouse because it affects both of you. But understand sometimes you just have to turn it off. And as hard as it is sometimes, and I'm sure I'm one of the worst people are doing it, but it's hard. But sometimes you just have to shut things off and really find out that it'll be the same problems will be there tomorrow.
You know what, Paul, I have to add to that too, because it's hard, you know, it's hard to turn it off, you know, and I have to choose my battles. You know, if he gets calls during dinner, you know, I have to let it go. Some people say,
yeah,
you know, Sherry, you're so understanding. Well, I know he's passionate about it. He's passionate about everything he has in his life. He's passionate about his family and his work. But work is so much a part of his life. Mine too.
Sure.
So why fight it? I'm not going to fight it.
Yeah, you know, for an instant.
No, and I think the key word you just brought out was, you know, passionate. You know, the passion. I know I'm putting in plenty of times because I have clients in Australia and Europe and South America and different time zones, and at times you do have to shut it off for the sake of family and your relationships, but also for your own sense of being. But
well, you mentioned the IFE. It happens to fall. We are doing the public relations for the IFE, and it happens to fall during my children's spring break. So I, unfortunately, I have to leave a couple of days early for my spring break, but it's nice part is my oldest son is looking at a couple universities in Washington, D.C. So he's going to be flying out, and she's going to be flying out Sunday morning from to go spend a few days. He's going to spend the day at the IFE on Sunday. And then my son Zach and I are going to go look at universities on Monday. We have two appointments. So you can make the best of a lot of things, and it's wonderful that my children understand but are also a big part of it. My oldest son has done two internships with us, and we're excited that he loves franchising.
Yeah, that is good. Well, you know, I certainly look forward to seeing the two of you at IFE, and it does amaze me how fast an hour goes by. Brad, Sherry, I really thank you for being my guests on Franchise Today. I really enjoy, you know, both of you. Again, thank you for being my guests, and I would like to see you and spend a little time with you at IFE. And you know, I'm certain today's segment will be a listener favorite for months to come. Thank you again for being on.
Oh,
thank you for having us.
Remember, today's segment will be available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow. Join me next week as Doc Cohen will be my guest. I'm real excited to talk to Doc, congratulate him on his IFA Hall of Fame Award, and to learn his perspective on franchising, especially as that perspective is that of a franchisee. I really can't wait. Until then, I'm Paul Segretto wishing you the very best in this great, fabulous thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is out.